To the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 28. Matthew 28, last chapter of the book of Matthew this morning. I do want to again say I appreciate everyone being here, and I do want to make sure to state my appreciation to Pastor Parker. I do not take lightly the responsibility, the trust which he's placed in me to fill this pulpit this morning. I've been much in prayer about what to preach, what to teach in Sunday school, what to preach here this morning. And I believe that this is the message the Lord has for us this morning. I mentioned this morning in Sunday school that when I'm at Round Prairie, often I'm out of my home church. The Lord has opened a ministry of evangelism to me where I can go to local, small local, that's local, not loco, small local churches that are in need of, that are between pastors, or that the pastor has to be gone for a weekend or some such, and fill the pulpit for them. So there are times when I'm not in my home church. I'm in church, but I'm just not necessarily there. But when I'm in my home church, I teach the adult Sunday school lessons, the adult Sunday school class. Recently, we taught a series of lessons by hopefully the Holy Spirit myself. This thing sounds like that wind is blowing right across it. Is that what's going on? Okay. It's going to get warm up here, but I'll live through it. And if I don't, I'll be happier. It's the truth. I'm happy now. I'm happy. I've got a beautiful wife that loves me, I think. I have no idea why. I've got wonderful children. I've got grandchildren that, as I said in Sunday school, I don't have time to tell you all about my grandchildren. I'm happy. But let's face it, heaven's going to be better. Amen? And I totally forgot where I was. Oh, Sunday school lessons. We recently taught a series of lessons on theology, and we went through the different doctrines. We went through the doctrine of sin. We went through the doctrine of man. We went through the doctrines of the Holy Spirit. That was an interesting series of lessons. And we went through the doctrines of the church. For those of you who are wondering, that's ecclesiology. That's the big word that everybody's scared of. The doctrines of the church. And this, actually, what I'm going to preach this morning actually started out as a Sunday school lesson. But the Lord has led me to preach it in a couple different churches, and we're going to, Lord willing, and with his help, going to preach it here again this morning. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. Verse number 18, the very last three verses of the book of Matthew. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Here we have what's called the Great Commission. Here we have the charge, if you will, to the church. And looking at this passage, we're going to take a little bit of time and preach just a couple, just three points on the purpose of the church. 3 points from this passage on the purpose of the church. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for this morning. Lord, we thank you for the freedom which we enjoy to gather together here. Now, Lord, I pray that this morning would be productive, Lord, that this morning gathered together here would not be in vain. I pray it would not be a thing of entertainment. I pray it would not be a thing of human worth. But Lord, I pray that it would be a moment of your Spirit speaking to us. Father, I pray that you would give me the words to speak, that you would fill me and use me. Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would move amongst the pews and give to each person here today what they're needing. Father, I cannot, nor do I do not know, nor can I give the folks here today what they require, but Lord, you know what they need, and you are the one who can give it. And Father, I just pray that you would bless in everything said here today. I pray that as we leave this place this morning, that we would know that we heard from you, that we met with you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, before we get to speaking about the purpose of the church, we should take just a moment and define what we're talking about when we are talking about the church. If you'll stop just a moment and look around you, you are looking at the church. When we're talking about the purpose of the church, we are talking about the purpose of a local, called-out assembly of born-again believers. We are not talking about some denominational headquarters somewhere. We are not talking about some convention or group. We're not talking about some mass of every believer all across the world today. We're not talking about some unspecific, just non-gathering group, not even a group, really. What we're talking about when we're talking about the church and the purpose of the church is we're specifically talking about the group of people gathered together. Now, it does not matter whether we're talking about Suburban Heights Baptist Church or whether we're talking about Round Prairie Baptist Church or whatever name you want to put onto it, as long as it's a local gathering of born-again believers. Now, by that definition, the building over there is not a meeting of a church. Say, I don't like that. I don't care. By the biblical definition of a church, a local gathering of born-again believers, that building over across the way there, that great big thing, is not a church meeting. You can call it what you want to. By the way, the word church is used many different ways in the English language. We call this building a church. Biblically, and there's nothing wrong with using the word in that way, but biblically, that is not the definition of church. We call the services church. We're going to church. We're going to have church services. There's nothing wrong with using it in that way. There's nothing wrong with the application of that word. However, that is not the biblical definition. The biblical definition of the word church is, as we are gathered here this morning, we are the church. The church is not an organization. The church is an organism. The church is our fellowship. The church is our gathering. As we are together and as we are unified in the Spirit, you're the church. You're the church. You're the church. You're the church. And just on and on down the road. Of course, I'm making the assumption that you're born again. But I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, brother. But that's what, when we're talking about the purpose of the church, when we're talking about the church, that is what we're talking about. So if when you think of the word church, if you think of a great big organization, or if you think of a denomination, or if you think of a huge multi-geographical sort of thing, we need to narrow down our definition and realize that when we're talking about the church, we're talking about us. We're talking about us as we are gathered here this morning. The question becomes then, as we are a church, what is our purpose? Really, why are we gathered here today? What is it we are to accomplish? What is our goal for meeting here today? Are we here because it's habit? Are we here because this is just what we do? Are we here because this is what other people expect of us? Are we here because mom and dad told us to? That's probably, you know, that one works sometimes. That one does work sometimes. It should not be your actual reason. Why are we here? What's our purpose? What's our goal? What do we set out to accomplish here today? I want you to notice three things from this passage. The first purpose of the church, as we gather here together, and as we work together, our purpose even beyond these services is to evangelize. To evangelize. The Bible says in verse number 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them. When we're to teach the nations, we're to teach them about salvation. In a parallel passage in Mark chapter 16, verse number 15, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. One of the purposes of the church, one of the goals of our assembly should be to reach the lost. And it is not just the job of the preacher. It's not just the job of the evangelist. It's just not the job of the staff. It is the responsibility of the church. We're surrounded by a dark and dying world. We're surrounded by a spiritually ignorant world. And it is our responsibility, it is our charge, if you will, to go out there and to preach the gospel. It is not our job to get people saved. So you just said it's our job to evangelize. Yes. The definition of evangelize is what it said in the verse in Mark, to preach the gospel. Evangelization, go ye and teach. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Did you see anything in there that says go out there and get professions? It's not there. It's not our job to get people saved. That's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not our job to convict somebody. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Our job is to tell them, to give them the Word of God, which is what the Holy Spirit works through to convict them of their lost condition and to show them the way of salvation. It is not our job to see how many people we can get to pray a prayer after us. Say, does that really happen? Oh, been there, done that. Got the t-shirt. I'll tell you the absolute truth, folks. I used to be a salesman. Don't hate me. I used to be a salesman. I went to classes to be trained how to sell. I know salesmen hate to see me coming because I know a lot of the tricks. And when you know the tricks, it don't work no more. They hate to see me coming. It's not my job as a preacher to sell you. It's not our job as a church to sell salvation. It's not our job as a church to sell the gospel. It is our job as a church to proclaim the gospel. Now, well, that can mean going and knocking on a door and asking somebody if you can share the scriptures with them. That's good. That's fine. I got nothing against that. It can mean being on the work, at work and taking a free moment when you are not robbing from your employer and sharing the gospel with somebody. That is good. Notice the qualifications I put on that one. It can mean leaving a tract behind at a restaurant when you leave a tip. And by the way, if you don't leave a tip, don't leave a tract. I do enough to damage the cause of Christ on my own. I don't need you helping me. It can mean leaving a tract under somebody's windshield wiper. Say, Brother Scott, I couldn't knock on a door and speak to somebody. Can you hand somebody a piece of paper? Well, no, I'm too shy to even hand somebody a piece of paper. Can you leave it on a table when you walk away? Can you go up to a car that there's nobody in and stick it under the windshield wiper? Can you just go door to door through a neighborhood? Don't even knock on the door. Stick a tract in the door. If that's what you can do, that's what you can do. I'm not here. The purpose of the preacher today is not to guilt you into doing something. The purpose of the message here is not to guilt somebody because they don't go out knocking on doors and they're not speaking to people and they're not being confrontational with soul winning and they're not out there street preaching, standing on the corner and preaching the gospel. If the Lord leads you to do that, great, fine, dandy. But you know, we're not all built that way. That's the truth. We're not all built that way. And you know what? That's okay. You have permission not to be like me. I have permission not to be like Jack Hiles. I don't have to be like Jack. You know what? I'm not Jack Hiles. I don't want to be. We don't have to be the same. We shouldn't be the same. I got nothing against Bible college. Really, I don't. What I got something against is the cookie cutter approach that says, this is the way you are, this is the way you are, this is the way you should be, this is the way you're going to be, and everybody has to do the same thing, the same way, all the time. Phooey! The purpose of the church is not to be like some great preacher. The purpose of the church is not to be exactly like your pastor. Use them for a model, role model. Use them for an example, yes, but don't strive to be exactly like him. He wouldn't want that. The purpose of the church is, one of the purposes of the church is to evangelize. That means to preach the gospel, to get it out to people, whether that is verbally or whether that is in the written word or however we choose to go about it. Part of our purpose as a church is to evangelize, to reach the lost, to proclaim the gospel. And away with this whole notion of, if you have more numbers, you're more successful. Phooey. Show me in the book. You want a definition of successful, being successful at evangelizing? If I walk up and I hand you a tract, I'm successful at my purpose. But you don't even know if you read it or threw it away. That's not my responsibility. That's not my job. Walk up to a door and leave it stuck in a door somewhere. I am successful. Well, you don't know that they didn't just come home and open the door and it blew away. You don't know that they didn't take it and rip it to shreds and throw it down. That's not my responsibility. That's not my job. My job is to evangelize, to get the gospel out. Now, if I'm of the kind of person that can knock on a door, if I'm the kind of person that can go with somebody that can knock on a door and stand there quietly and pray for them while they're witnessing to somebody, I have succeeded in my purpose. If I knock on a door and somebody comes to the door and I say, hi, my name's Scott Petty. This is my wife, Robin. We're from Brown Prairie Baptist Church. We're just wondering if you knew for sure if something happened to you, you'd be going to heaven. And I get kerslam. I am successful. I have tried to get the gospel out. I have sought to do what God told me to do. The results are not our responsibility. That is the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And we get messed up as a church, as individuals, as a church, even as a movement. We get messed up when we start usurping the role of the Holy Spirit. We get messed up. We're headed for trouble, and we're headed for disappointment, and we're headed for false professions. When we start taking the role of the Holy Spirit onto ourselves. Just because I'm good at persuading somebody and I can talk them into praying a prayer after me doesn't make them saved. That is the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God in their heart, and that is the only thing. It is not about sales, it's not about smoothness, it's not about presentation. I believe if you're going to witness face-to-face, that you ought to know what you're talking about. And you ought to know the verses, and you ought to be prepared. I believe that. I honestly do. But it's not about how slick you are. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We keep coming back to that. Even in Sunday school, we kept coming back to that. Brother Scott, you gotta be careful. Preaching to Baptists, you're not preaching to Pentecostals. Who said the Holy Spirit was just for Pentecostals? Have mercy. The Holy Spirit is for every born-again believer. He indwells us. He wants to empower us, and he wants to use us. And he will if we let him, if we just get out of the way and let him. And that's not just for charismatics or Pentecostals. That's for every born-again believer. Every. The first purpose of the church is to evangelize. Now, in a lot of places, and I've heard entire messages where that's as far as it went. The only purpose that we have is to evangelize. The only purpose that we have is to reach the lost. The only purpose that we have is to go out soul winning. That is the driving and underlying and only purpose of the church, and that is incorrect. That's not right. Now, don't get me wrong, I am not belittling evangelization. I just preached 15 minutes on why we should evangelize, on how it is our responsibility, on how it is a purpose of the church. I am not belittling that. I am, however, saying categorically, and I'm about to prove it to you from the scriptures, that is not our only purpose. The second purpose of the church is to edify and exhort the believer. We're to evangelize the lost. We're to edify and exhort the believer. Verse number 19 again. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Verse number 20. teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. We're to go out. We're to evangelize. We're to present the gospel. And then when someone gets saved, we're to teach them. We're to teach them. We're to edify and exhort the believers. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, verses 11 through 13, the Bible says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." And so much the more as you see the day approaching. We're to edify and to exhort the believer. Say, what does that mean? Edify means to build up, to incite by words or advice, to animate or urge by arguments to a good deed or to any laudable conduct or course of action, to advise. To exhort means to warn or to caution. Basically, it's not just that somebody gets saved and bingo, that's all that we're responsible to do as a church. We're responsible to teach, to edify, to exhort, to build up. And that means taking the Word of God and teaching and preaching it more than just some sensational, emotional way. And don't get me wrong, I love those services where it's a shouting time and where people are saying amen and waving their hands and people are swinging from the chandeliers and they're pitching babies from the balcony. I love those. Well, okay, maybe not the babies part. I love being in those high services like that. But you know what else I love? I love when the preacher gets up and gives me something from the meat. And even those high services, there has to be scriptural meat to that. There must be. We're not just here to raise up some emotion. We're not just here to raise up some man. We're not just here to have a good time of entertainment. We are here to learn from God's Word, whether it's in the teaching or it's in the preaching. I remember as a young Christian hearing this, and I believe it's true. All good preaching contains some teaching, and all good teaching contains some preaching. They go together. They work together. They are not at odds. You would think, in the way that some churches are, that teaching and preaching are entirely opposite things that are actually fighting against each other. I've been in churches where it's all just preach, 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 preach. Every Sunday school is preach. Every Sunday morning is preach. Every Sunday night is preach. Every Wednesday night is preach. I've been in the services where you open your Bible and you read a verse and they say, "Shut your Bible and look up at me." What? Have mercy. I've been in the services where they read a passage and they preach a message and you walk away going, "What in the world did that message have to do with the passage they took off from?" They've never referred back to it. They never used another bit of scripture. And I have no idea how there's any relation at all to that. I've been in those. I've also been in the services where all they did was just teach, 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 teach without any practical application, without any stirring of the heart, without any convicting power of the Holy Spirit behind what they're doing. Quite frankly, dead, dull, dry, and boring. You've got to have both. You've got to have, they don't work in opposition, they work in tandem. Because that's part of our responsibility as a church. It's not just to see people saved, but once they're saved, to help them to grow. Where are they going to get the spiritual food that they need to grow if we don't start giving it to them in the Sunday schools, in the Sunday morning service, in the Sunday evening service, in the Wednesday night service? Where are they going to get this nutrition? Where are they going to get this sustenance? The Bible tells us that when you are first born, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. As newborn babies, we're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And yet, what newborn baby is there that can go and fix their own formula? and give it to and put it in a bottle, shake it, you know, the powdered formula stuff, and shake it all up, warm it up, get the bottle put together. Those things are hard to do sometimes. Anyway. And feed themselves. What newborn baby is there can do that? Not a one. It's our responsibility as a church to take newborn believers, to take babies in Christ, and to exhort and to edify them in the services and amongst ourselves. It has not been so long since I got saved that I don't remember the impact that people in this room had on my life as a young Christian, and I praise God for you. You lived the examples in front of me, and not only did you live the examples in front of me, but you were willing to take of your time and of your knowledge and of your experience, and you were willing to share that with me. And part of the there are people in this room that part of the reason that I am able to do, to perform the calling which the Lord has put on my life is because, humanly, because of you. And I praise the Lord for you. But there are times we fall down on that. There are times we fall down on that. And there is never a time that we get so mature in the Lord that we don't need that. You know, we've been talking about newborn babes, but let's face it, we're always growing. We never reach the point of full maturity in Christ while we're here on this earth. We're always growing. We should be always growing. We should be always learning. We should. Have you ever stopped and prayed before a service? Pray, Lord, convict me of something today. That's not a prayer you often hear. That's not necessarily a prayer that I've often prayed. I've prayed, Lord, give me something from your word. I've prayed, Lord, strengthen me. Lord, bless me. I've prayed that. I honestly cannot tell you if there actually has been a time when I've prayed, Lord, convict me of something today. And yet there's never a time in our lives where we're living perfectly with Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit of God can't put his finger on something and say, you need to fix this. There never comes a time where we don't need that exhorting, where we don't need that edifying, where we don't need that building up and strengthening from the church. It's there, and that's part of our responsibility. That's part of our purpose. So the purpose of the purposes of the church were to evangelize the lost. We are to edify and exhort the believers. And lastly, the third purpose of the church we're going to look at today, we are to exalt God. If you'll notice those threefold purposes, we have an outward purpose to evangelize. We have an inward purpose to exhort and edify, to build the believer. We have an upward purpose to exalt God. Notice in verse number 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Notice the emphasis there. Not teaching, when we're teaching, when we're preaching, we're to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to be teaching man's opinions. We're not to be teaching man's philosophies. We're not to be exalting a great man, what we would call a great man of God in the pulpit, and following after his philosophies and his opinions and the way he wants things done. No, the emphasis is on what the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded us. The emphasis is on the scriptures. The emphasis is on him. We are to exalt God in our services. Exalt means to elevate in estimation and praise, to magnify. When we come together, the purpose of this church should not be to magnify this church, nor should it be to magnify an individual, nor should it be to magnify a college or a school or some other church, nor should it be to magnify a movement. The purpose of the church is to exalt, to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, the Bible says, unto me, said Paul, who am the less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. What's he preaching? He's not preaching his opinions. He's not preaching his school philosophy. He's preaching the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who's to know the manifold wisdom of God? Who's to be exalted? It's by the church. Ephesians chapter 3, farther on in verse 20 and 21, the Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." This should be a place where Christ is glorified. This should be a place where God is magnified and praised. This should be a place where it's not about man. It's not about entertainment. It's not about duty or obligation. It's not about habit or tradition. It's about exalting and magnifying God. It's about lifting on high the Lord Jesus Christ through his word, through singing his praises, through prayer, through praise. So praise and worship, that phrase has gotten a bad taste because of the contemporary movement. But praise and worship are biblical. They are more than a type of music. They are more than a contemporary type of service. Praise and worship are part of our lives and part of our purpose as a church. Because as a group of believers, part of what we're here to do is to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. To tell how good he is. To tell how powerful he is. To tell how merciful he is. How loving, how kind, how gracious, how long-suffering. And to lift him up on high. And if we do that, our services will not become dull. Our services will not become dry. Because it's going to go beyond ritual. It's going to go beyond what we normally do and habit and circumstance. It's going to go beyond so much of that. If we can get to the point where everything that we're focusing in on is about our purpose, is about exalting God. That's when it really starts getting good. Okay, Brother Scott. That's the purposes of the church. Outward purpose, to evangelize the lost. Inward purpose, to exalt and exhort and edify the believers. Upward purpose, to exalt God. That's good. We should do that. Hold on just a minute. Remember the definition of the church? The church is us. So when we say the purpose of the church is to evangelize, that means it's each one of us individually, not just collective individuals. When it's the purpose of the church to edify and exhort, to help each other out, not necessarily to teach a Sunday school class, but what in the world is wrong with shaking somebody's hand and encouraging them? What in the world is wrong with putting your hand on somebody's shoulder and saying, "I'm praying for you"? What in the world is wrong with that? When we say the church should edify and exhort the believers, boom. When we say the church should exalt God, boom. It's not just us collectively, but it's us individually. We are the church. Therefore, if that's the purpose of the church, that's our purpose also. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let's all stand to our feet, if you would, please. Just a couple questions this morning. Nobody looking around. First point we had was the purpose of the church is to evangelize, to proclaim the gospel to folks. Let me ask you, Is there anyone here who'd lift up your hand? Nobody's looking around except me. And I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to come to you. If I knew your name, I wouldn't call it. But is there anybody here who'd lift their hand and say, Brother Scott, I do not know that I'm going to heaven. I don't know that for certain. I cannot think of a specific time in my life where I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I do not know that for certain. Is there anybody who'd lift up your hand and say, that's me, Brother Scott. Nobody else is looking around. And I won't call you out or point you out, I promise. Is there anybody here to say that? That's me, Brother Scott. I don't know for certain I'm going to heaven. I don't know that. All right, by that testimony, everyone in here is a born-again believer. By that testimony. Let me ask you this. Has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to your heart this morning? Are you fulfilling your purpose? That's really what it all comes down to. Are you fulfilling your purpose? I'm going to pray, and then the music is going to start playing. When you hear the music, if the Holy Spirit of God spoke to your heart, the altar will be open for you to come and to speak to Him and to do business with Him. If He did business with you, the altar will be open for you to do business with Him. Father, again, we thank You so much for You. Lord, we thank You for who You are, for what You've done. Now, Father, I pray that You would work in this invitation, that You'd accomplish Your will in the hearts of the folks here today. Father, we thank You again for what You have done. We praise You for what You're going to do in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. If the Holy Spirit of God spoke to you, the altar is open as the music plays.